So excited today to get ready for this episode of the Ken's Corner Podcast. So let us go ahead and get everything started off.
Got a lot of the shit like this, nigga.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I ain't even said it or wrote it yet. I just feel it, nah. Oh. Yeah. Overtime, cause I ain't have a mic. I was in that Chevy.
I had a Chevy too.
Yeah.
Hit him, Nip.
Overtime, overtime, ain't have a mic. I was in that Chevy playing Savage Life. Niggas looking like I had it wrong. Now the niggas know I had it right.
Everybody know I keep
it
right.
They don't know I'm about to sleepless nights.
They don't know about me staying up all night.
For a reason, nice.
With anxiety.
It's 6 degrees in life. Opportunity, preparation, they meet us nice.
I ain't
nice.
Scared to speak on it.
You see me up in demons, right? My chain and my pinky bright. I'm valet in Mercedes Benz. Looking like somebody that people like. Can't but help to think how fake it is.
There's a lot of you fake people out there.
We're in this music biz.
Not just in the music business, but everywhere in life. But you know what?
So maybe I could try and change the shit.
All I could do is
maybe
be me.
I'm too ambitious. Too ambitious. Or maybe this a new dimension. Maybe them they too religious. Maybe they judge my intentions. But either way, I'm on my mission.
I'm in staying on my mission.
Overtime, I ain't have a mic.
I do got one mic.
I was in that Chevy playing Savage Life. Niggas looking like I had it wrong. Now them niggas know I had it right. They don't know about them sleepless nights.
Yes, 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 yes. Thank you, Nip. R.I.P. Nip. The marathon definitely is continuing on this 2/24 as I'm recording. On Kobe Day, man, RIP Kobe Bryant, to Gigi, to all those lives lost, the memorial was today. So I'm recording, but you are going to hear this on Tuesday, so happy Tuesday to you. But let me get this really started off right. Testing 1, 4, 3. Testing 1, 4, 3. It's all love, baby. Welcome to the Ken's Corner Podcast, and I am your host, Ken. And I am so thankful. Thank you for tuning in to episode number 46. Yes, man, this has been still going strong, still going strong. So, as always, thank you to all of my first-time listeners and to all those, you know, that's been listening for a minute. What I always need you to do is to first and foremost subscribe to whatever station or whatever platform you are streaming this from. I need you to subscribe. I need you to download. I really need to stream. Stream it a couple times. Listen to the podcast a couple times a day. You know, you may not have catched a bar that I said. You may have to rewind it back. Like, what did he really say? And, you know, so stream. I need you to share, like, retweet. And also, please tell 4 people to listen to the Ken's Corner Podcast. So welcome to all my people overseas, man. The numbers stay consistent, so I'm happy about that. So it's not just a one-time thing. It's one thing to do it one time. It's another thing to have the people come back. So thank you to everybody, France, Turkey, Belgium, the Netherlands, Norwegian, all those, you know, everywhere. So thank you. And then always, those people in the U.S. of A. listening. So thank you so much. So let's see what's happening in a neighborhood that we can talk about on the corner. I want to talk about my trip, man. I went to Maryland. So I went to Maryland, had a great time. Really, you know, family, friends. Went to go celebrate the arrival of a newborn baby, my brother and sister, who are in, you know, together in happy matrimony, came together, became one flesh, went, and as the greatest, one of the greatest lines in movie history, in Boys in the Hood, "Stick your ding ding in them, and 9 months later, a baby's coming out. So, my man. So, congratulations to the Williams family, man. I'm so proud of y'all, man, on your birth of the new baby girl. So, I'm not going to say her name, you know, keep protection of the children's, but can't wait till the bundle of joy gets here. So, celebrated Maryland. Then from there, went to D.C., took the family to D.C. to the African American History Museum. Didn't really get a chance to go through it like I want to because we on time constraints. But just I wanted to give my boys just the opportunity just to see where we came from. One of the things we came, you know, not our total history, but, you know, our history. So it was great to see that. I really wish I could have seen the Emmett Till exhibit. It was a line wrapped around. Again, we were on time constraints. Funny story. First of all, people in D.C., you drive fast and crazy and reckless for no reason. There's no reason for why you drive. Like, Detroit drives aggressive. There's a reason. There's a flow. Atlanta drives fast. There's a reason. There's a flow. Chicago, they drive aggressive. They on your bumper, but there's a reason. There's a flow. Yeah, D.C., there's no flow, and there's no reason for why you drive the way you drive. And it was really ridiculous. And so that's my other funny story is my mom comes into the dang on museum. So they got to scan you and do all this other stuff. So go through, my family go through, I go through. So now I'm waiting on my mom. And it's taking her a minute. All I hear is, she got scissors in her purse. She got scissors in her purse. And I'm like, wait a minute, what's going on? I turn around. So my mom is in there looking, and she has some little pair of scissors or whatever in her purse. So thank God that the security guard was cool. He was like, ma'am, they looked at this, you know, what size it was. It was no threat. But the simple fact is my mom almost got taken down with extreme prejudice. And I would have left her because she should have been prepared. She's old enough to know that you don't bring scissors into a federal. Like, you're just old enough to know that, you know. So, hey, just like you would tell me, ma, you know better. You know better. So, ma, you know better. But no. Yeah, so that was my story, man. That really made my day. And, yeah, my mom almost got locked up. And I would just had to look at her and like, hey, you know better. So this is a hard lesson you got to learn. Just like you told me, these hard lessons I got to learn. So what else is going on out there, man? Rest in peace to Pop Smoke. Now, I am not one of those people who just piggybacks on culture or just piggybacks on what's hot or what's going, I mean, as far as the fads, let me put it that way. I'm really into my music, and I got hip to Pop Smoke, and I, you know, just love the energy that he brought. And I'm not, again, all of his songs, I'm not going to sit here and say I was a huge Pop Smoke fan. The sadness of this whole tragedy is another African American king taken down. And what's more sad is the cycle of being desensitized of these type of phenomena. And because, you know, although these things happen not only in every state, in every city, every place in the world, the one thing with the advent of social media and bringing everyone so close together is that these stories are continue to be perpetuated. And now is a thing of tragedy happens, prayers, praying hand emojis or high five emojis, whichever one you subscribe to, what it actually is. A few pictures posted throughout social media, and we move on and repeat. And it seems as if we are going through this type of thing every 2 to 3 months. And that is problematic because we are really being desensitized that this is not normal. Now, we should be wanting to enjoy life. We should be wanting to live life. We should be wanting to, again, coming off, you know, listening and looking at several speakers for the Kobe Bryant Memorial. And the one thing that, a reoccurring theme was that he gave everything he had in everything he did. And in order to do that, you must stay focused. You must, you know, be able to, you know, play through hurt, play through pain, play through injuries. You must get up in the morning, and when you didn't want to work out, you must get up in the morning to perfect your craft. You must get up in the morning to perfect the craft of being a husband. You must get up in the morning to perfect the craft of being a father and everything. And these type of setbacks, going back to Pop Smoke, when you're being inundated and bombarded with these type of tragedies, it can almost create a world almost like a parallel world, or I don't know what the words are not really coming out that I really want to be able to say what I want to say. But the main point is we become desensitized, and it creates a reality. That's what the word is looking at. It creates a reality where we think that this is normal. And sometimes our children will pick up on this as if this is the way it's going to be. And it's not. It can't be. We got to continue to love, be able to talk problems out. We really need our community leaders, such as myself and others, to continue to step up and beat that drum of unity and being able to really, you know, embrace life. And when you embrace life, you're not so, you know, first of all, embrace your own life. And embracing your own life, you're not so quick to take somebody else's life. So Pop Smoke, man, thank you for the contribution that you made to the culture. Again, as a middle-aged man, I was, becoming a fan of yours. And I was just really eager to see where you were going to go with your music. And prayers and, you know, my condolences, my deepest, deepest condolences to his family, to his friends, to his loved ones. And it's very unfortunate. So just a real quick moment of silence before Pop Smoke. All right. The next thing up, Deontay Wilder, my man, huge boxing fan and a huge fan of Deontay Wilder. There's a few criticisms or critiques I would like to have. And the one thing I would like to have said, in hindsight being 2020, could this fight not happen in Black History Month? Because my man got the dog pissed beat out of him by Tyson Fury. And the thing about boxing is styles make fights. And that means, for those who are, you know, don't understand what that means, is to just the average fan, you just want to see two people just go in there and slug it out. But what really makes a fight is someone who really know how to box, which is, you know, really the technical aspect of it, that bobs and weaves, versus somebody who may just is a slugger. It's not saying that one style is better than the other. It's just that when you have contrasting styles, it makes for a better fight. And this made for a good fight on so many layers. Not only was it two different styles, the personalities were very big. And let's just keep it 100, the race issue. And so more than likely, if you were an African-American, you were pulling for Deontay Wilder. Even in the back of your mind, you know that this fight was going to be a lot closer for those who really are boxing fans and know about the sport. We sort of knew that this fight was going to be a lot closer, but we didn't expect this. Yeah, we didn't expect this. And all those, yeah, I knew it was going to happen. People, no, you didn't. No, you didn't. Not in this fashion. And I'm proud of Deontay Wilder, because for me, not only he represents the sport well, and so does Tyson Fury. Tyson Fury represents the sport. Both these gentlemen represent the sport very well. And what I love about Deontay Wilder is he knows when to be arrogant and he knows when to be humble. But he is a humble, just his persona and what I've seen of him on TV and interviews, he's a very humble person. He could have very easily been a sour, poor sport, but the man gave nothing but congratulations and everything to Tyson Fury. And yeah, that punch was borderline. And, one thing I'll echo Shannon Sharp when he said, because when you cheer for somebody and you want somebody to win, you can want something to be a certain way. So that one punch, it, you know, that some say it's, you know, an ear shot. Other people can say he was hit behind the head. It was right on the, you know, it was borderline. It could have went either way. I think even Wilder, when he got hit, he looked up like, okay, this, I got hit behind the head. But for, you know, he wasn't able to, in my opinion, recover from that. For me, I did not see the, I don't know, it was just something different. And that's no, and that has, and that's not Tyson Fury's fault. That's not Tyson Fury's fault. Tyson Fury came in and was in good condition. He changed, for those that don't know. So he changed, he fired his, you know, manager, or he fired, you know, his trainer, and he went to Detroit. And Detroit has a different style of fighting. It's more aggressive. It's more forward. And yeah, man, he really came in and just put it on him. It's, that's what it was. I gave Wilder one round, and that was round two. And that's it. All the other rounds was, you know, Tyson Fury. So shout out to Tyson Fury. Shout out to Deontay Wilder. Hopefully you can come back and you can be a better man for it. I think this third one is epic. It will be epic. And yeah, so just can't wait for that to happen. So what's going on next? Speaking of fights, did you see the debate? The Democratic debate. And I was all in. You hear me? I was all in. And I just want to break it down very, you know, quickly, but want to just give my takes from it. The first thing in the overall, I think Elizabeth Warren won. I believe that she did a much better job, although I will make my, you know, known, I'm a Bernie Sanders supporter. I believe in his, you know, his overall view. There, you know, again, as always, there's nobody perfect in the race. There, you know, several things that you're, you know, you're not going to like. But overall, I'm a Bernie's, Bernie Sanders supporter. With that being said, Elizabeth Warren came in, and she came in for the kill. And she, it was, you know, in using wrestling terms, it was a battle royale, and Elizabeth Warren came out with nothing but finishing moves on everybody. Pete Buttigieg, I did not like, I want to keep it professional, but just, you know, the immature side of me, man. I wanted to see Bernie Sanders slap the piss out of Pete Buttigieg. I really did. And I can, please forgive me for the senator, or the lady from, I believe she's a senator from Minnesota. I cannot pronounce her name. Buttigieg got up under her skin. And Elizabeth Warren even came to her aid, you know, because of the not knowing the president of Mexico. And yeah, he went in, and everybody went in, and she was visibly shaking. She was visibly in her speech. Her, you know, voice was trembling and everything. But the overall pile up was on Bloomberg. And I said it on the last podcast. I'm going to just touch on it briefly because my homeboy Ron wanted me to just talk about it just a little bit more. But Bloomberg, in my personal opinion, okay, first of all, I know none of these people personally. These people would pass me on the street and probably wouldn't say hi. With all that being said, in my personal opinion, Mike Bloomberg is a plant. And I said it last week. He's a plant. He is in to disrupt the Democratic, the DNC. and split the votes. And to me, on many levels, maybe not as bad, but on many levels, he just reminds me of Trump. Point blank. And the one thing that is centered, and I'm going to give credit to the National Review. So if you get a chance, look up and Google the National Review. And the editor or the author of this particular article is Barry Lazer, L-A-T-Z-E-R. And it's the complicated legacy of Bloomberg's stop and frisk policy. Now, why is this such a hot topic, and why is this, you know, the main thing that people harp on? But this is the main thing that I'm going to harp on. And the reason is, when you're in power, much like the lady from Minnesota, when she was a prosecutor, and they talked about, as a prosecutor, her record on the number of police shootings and her record of, you know, convicting those cops. When you have the opportunity to be in power, what do you do with that power? And that speaks volumes for the for your character. That speaks volumes, because you can't come in. Now, stop and frisk was I want people to really Google it for themselves. I'm going to give my take, but I want you to Google it for yourself and get an understanding for yourself. But this is my main reason. When Bloomberg was in office, not only did it was actually stop, question, and frisk. And his whole point was to clean up, clean up the crime. And during his tenure or his regime, gun violence went down. Guns got off the street. More guns were collected, but gun violence actually was on the rise. And it only was deployed in black and brown communities, which were higher crime. Now, if you're a billionaire and you so-called are so philanthropic and you have power, why is it that those in power, when it comes to black, brown people, underserved and underrepresented people, why is it that it's force instead of treatment, jail instead of hospitals? Instead of programming, you sent police. Yeah, that right there did it for me. And then you can't come back with a half-ass apology afterwards. And I believe the only reason why you apologize is because you were running and you wanted to get black votes. And so you give this, half-ass apology, and you never really apologize to the people that you hurt. And that's the sad part about it. And then other things, you wanted to, twist the rules to run for a third term. That to me just lets me know that once you get into power, it's the old adage about money. Money doesn't change you. It just gives you more freedom to be the person who you really are. Power really doesn't change you. It just gives you the backing to be who you really are. And so for me, if you're African American, really look deep into the history of Bloomberg. Now, with that being said, to be fair, there are some initiatives that, he threw money at people. I'm just going to call it what it is. He's currently, paying people to help, as far as, and again, it's just how you do it. It just looks funny, paying people to praise you. And you want to run this. And then, when Elizabeth Warren pressed you about the women issue, as far as those allegations and those MDAs that you have, have signed, that's big, because again, it speaks to your character. Again, I'm not coming to anybody on a high horse. Ken of Ken's Corner Podcast has a sketchy past, and I'm not going to sit here and I'm not glorifying it. It is what it is. One thing about Ken, Ken stands up for the truth. Ken faced and faces his demons, and the people who need to know, know. And I tell my own story. So with all that being said, man, I'm not a fan of Bloomberg, but again, I want you to do your research for yourself. Please make sure you're registered to vote. I think for many states that the registration, I believe, is already passed. I know I spoke on it on several of my podcasts about making sure that you're registered to vote. So please check. Please make sure you register to vote. Go out. And it's the only way we can change things. All right. Before I finish, let me take a little, just a slight detour and make sure I educate and really encourage my listeners, man, to go to Stitcher Premium. You can go on and listen to your podcasts such as the Ken's Corner podcast. Again, Joe Rogan. I'm always going to shout out Joe Rogan and many other wonderful podcasts. So what it is that you have two options, which is $4.99 a month, or you can do $34.99 annually. And just for a limited time, and I think it's about to run out real soon, you can use promo code KEN, capital K, capital E, capital N. So that is Stitcher Premium. Please make sure you go in, enter promo code KEN, that's capital K, capital E, capital N, and get 1 month free of Stitcher Premium. All right. Harvey Weinstein's stinking ass is found guilty on two counts. Three counts have been, he's acquitted of three. His ass was taken straight to Rikers Island, and from there he will have to pay the price as they, you know, prepare for sentencing. It's not so much that I'm concerned about. And a lot of my things on my podcast, I will talk about issues, but for whatever reason, I watch the reaction to the issues. And that reaction is within the African-American community. It's just from my bubble and then other bubbles that I do peek in. It's really split 50-50 with African Americans, because there's a contingent of people who don't believe Harvey Weinstein is getting the coverage he deserves for the crimes that he committed. And there's another contingent who is always in defense of letting it play out and, you know, that type of thing. And the one thing that is fascinating is that both sides are right. You know, both sides are right. I don't believe that the Harvey Weinsteins is getting as much, you know, publicity as the R. Kellys and the Bill Cosbys. I don't believe that it's gotten that much as much publicity. I just really don't. With that being said, the people, we don't control that. And also, our talk is barbershop talk, beauty, talk. Beauty salon talk, excuse me, talking on the porch, you know, just sitting around talking with our friends. And just like crime happened in proximity, so do the issues that we talk about. We talk about issues in proximity, meaning that we talk about issues that affect our community. Harvey Weinstein honestly doesn't really affect our community. And that's probably why a lot of people don't talk about it. Let's keep it 100. Now, the other outlets, now I think we can all probably agree that the outside outlets, such as your, you know, three, ABC, NBC, CBS, your Fox, MSNBC, you know, CNN, I don't know if they cover it to the extent that they also cover African-Americans that get in trouble. Now, I think that there's a disproportionate way of that being covered. That don't have nothing to do with us. Like I'm pretty sure there's Hispanic people who have done heinous crimes that we don't know nothing about. I'm pretty sure that's talked about in Hispanic community. There's, you know, people of the Asian community, the Muslim community. I think it's in every community there's heinous crimes and people who do those things. Those people in the know know that. The rest of us don't. And so, yeah, I mean, I just think that, now I do believe there's, you know, I'm always going to believe there's a conspiracy, not conspiracy, but there is a plan in place to lynch black people at every step of the way. And what I mean by that, it may not be a physical lynching, but it may be a public lynching. It may be a social lynching. It may be all those type of things. I do believe that that's out there. But that's not a fault of ours. And I don't think we should argue about that amongst our people. That's just my personal opinion on that. But his ass going to jail. So we'll see. Moving on. Snoop. So I saw a clip. I didn't see the whole interview. I saw a clip about Snoop. He's going on Red Table Talk with Jada Pinkett Smith. I love the show. But again, I'm about reactions. So in watching the clip, you see Snoop very malign, very humble. And he's taking what Jada Pinkett has to say about her reaction to Snoop's reaction to Gayle King. And in all of this, the point that's being missed is that Gayle King is the one who was asked out wrong in all of this, because she didn't act in emotion. Hers was calculated. And for me, and that's the reason, and some people may say this is a false equivalency, and we can debate that. But that's why there's different degrees of murder. First degree murder is not the same as second degree murder, and it's not the same as, you know, crimes of passion, because there are things that you do out of emotion that's still not right. It's still not right. However, it's excused because it's emotion. But things that are calculated, no. You got to pay a bigger price than that. So now Snoop, who acted out of emotion, who I didn't like it, but I'm not going to sit here and act like I was so appalled. And maybe that's a problem that I didn't feel that way. And I spoke about that. I spoke about my past and, you know, calling my son's mother out of her name and how that made me feel. So that goes back to, you know, stuff that I've done, my sketchy past. I tell my own story. And I felt, and I'm still to this day, remorseful for that, even though I've asked for forgiveness and, you know, she's forgiven me and we have a cordial relationship. And that's been over 10, 15 years ago. But at the end of the day, it was out of emotion. It's not excusable, but it's out of emotion. Gayle King was calculated. So now Snoop, because he acted out of emotion, now is going on this apology tour. And Gayle King got her ass quiet, being protected. But again, several of us in the African-American community, we're sick of the inadequacies and we're sick of things not being equal. When Charlie Rose did what he did, Gayle King, you defended him. You defended that man because he was your friend. Oprah, and that's like another thing. Oprah, we want a full-fledged documentary on Harvey Weinstein, just like you was going to do one on Russ, just like you came out about Michael Jackson. If you're going to, my whole thing, you know, I got to give my boy a shout out to Chase for this particular, you know, statement. He said, if it all can't be right, let it all be wrong. And so with the same energy that you had stuff to say about Michael Jackson, Oprah, with the same energy that you wanted to have something to say about Russell Simmons, Oprah, had that same energy for Harvey Weinstein, because it's all wrong. Gayle, you didn't have the same energy with Charlie Rose that you probed against with Kobe Bryant. It's okay, if we're going to do about past, let's do it. But when that's, as black people, that's what we get upset about. So Snoop spoke out of emotion. And now, you know, some people can view sort of kind of being castrated and being emasculated. Some people can view it that way. Not saying I totally do, but I can see when people say that. So now he got to go on an apology tour, and Gayle King has yet to apologize for what she did in a sincere way. She passed blame and blamed it on the network. No, you asked the question. So look in the mirror, Gayle King. So I'm holding Gayle King more responsible. Sorry. Oh, so the hot topic of the hot topic. Dwayne Wade and his son. And this particular topic is very sensitive, because if you act like you have an opinion that's different than the majority, they are coming to counsel you. And the way I look at it as D. Wade as a father had a decision that he had to make. And he made his decision as a father. And as a father of four boys myself, when I saw this story come out, I put myself in Dwayne Wade's shoes. So this is my take on it, and you can do what you want. You can cancel me, you can celebrate me, I don't care. So for me, if one of my sons came to me first and foremost and expressed that they were homosexual, for me as a heterosexual man, I would be disappointed. Call it what it is, I would be disappointed. And for me, what I'm most upset about, or confused, well, I ain't gonna say upset, I will say upset, is that people confuse disappointment for love. Those are two different things. I never once said I wouldn't love my children. I never once said I wouldn't support my sons. I never once said I wouldn't embrace them. I said I'd be disappointed, because I am a heterosexual male and I want my sons to be heterosexual. That's what it is. I believe that that is a major life decision. And for me, I wouldn't want the backlash, the turmoil, everything that comes with that. That is me as a father. As a father, I have a right to say that. I also, as a father, if my sons were to do that after my disappointment, is to hug my sons. Is to let them know that their father is still going to protect them at all costs. That doesn't mean I condone it. That means I love my sons. And see, that's the nuance that people don't want to embrace, that there is a nuance with this. There is a high rate of African-American children committing suicide due to what they believe that they want to be, as far as homosexual and transgender. And that's a fact. So as a father and as a parent, when you know that these type of statistics are out there, and you know the cruelty of the world and the brutality of the world, and you know that just because you're embracing your children that somebody else is not, you have to do what you have to do to protect your child. I'm sorry. So Dwayne Wade, for however he decided to protect his child, did it. So what he did. Now, in how you do something, because I'm a firm believer, you know, keeping that same energy. So anytime you do something in public, you have to be ready for the public scrutiny. And that's the part, again, a part as far as the nuance. You came out and said all these things about your child. You came out and put it out there. So once you do that, people who have different backgrounds are going to do what they, or say what they feel, and they have a right to have an opinion. Now, you don't have a right to attack the child, but you do have a right to question the parents. You do have that right. Sorry, people. And so this is where that story becomes hot, because it's not, you know, people, well, you need to mind your own business. Guess what? I was minding my own business, and Dwayne Wade made this announcement. I was minding my own business. It wasn't the fact that I went out and was looking for it. Well, you don't have a right to have an opinion. Yes, I do. Because once you put it out there, just like once I put this out there, I have the right to have this critiqued. If not, I should just record it and keep it to myself. And so those are the subtle nuances of this whole situation. Boosie Badass, you know, chimed in. Everybody, you know, a lot of people just chimed in. You know, some of it was cruel, some of it was in, some of it you agree with. It may be hard, but it may be right. I don't know. But the love of a father is that's what it is. It's a love of the father. That he's going to protect his child. And he did what he feel is the best thing he could do to protect his child. It's not my child. It's not. I would have handled things a lot differently. That's me. It don't make me some super angel, but it don't make me a super devil. Because you, father knows best. Father has, I mean, and who knows what this is, how this is going to play out. So, to his family, my prayers go out to the Wade family to protect them and to protect their children. That's all I can offer. And that's all I'm going to offer. I just know how I'm going to raise my boys. And I know what I'm the values I'm going to instill in my boys. And that's what it is. So love my sons just like you love his. And that's what I do. That's all I can do. I love. That's all I can do. The last thing I'm going to touch on before I get up out of here is who shot Malcolm X. As we celebrate, as we come off the anniversary of the assassination of Elijah Malik El-Shabazz, Malcolm X, it was a very great documentary on Netflix. And as much as I used to study, I never was an official part of the Nation of Islam, but I did study to become in the nation. I did study Islam. And yeah, from Malcolm X, you know, I'm not that old, but but Malcolm X is one of my top five role models of my life. Historically, if I can be one third of the man or one-tenth of the man that he was and excuse me, speak for my people the way he did, I consider myself blessed. But it was very telling about, and I know the nation is doing what they need to do to protect the interests of the nation. I am not demonizing nor vilifying the nation. They've done a lot of great things. And in every great organization, I don't care how great the organization is, there's always going to be an element that you just have to look at and just have to say, hey, this is what happened. And there's, for me, again, I think that when looking at the documentary, the only thing, I know they spent a little time, but I think they should have went a lot more in depth with how intricate and how much the FBI was a part of it. And it is too much, you know, it's too much that, you know, J. Edgar Hoover, I mean, they touched on it. I think they could have did a much, you know, I don't know, again, this was the first, so I don't know what part two was going to look like. I don't know if there's going to be a part two. But yeah, man, shout out to the brother who took his time, man, who felt that strongly about it to make this documentary. And I just felt a way, man, about the Newark connection, Newark, New Jersey, about that, you know, brother that came out of Newark who was accused of pulling the trigger, and pretty much the city just covered him for it. And I don't know how to feel about that. I don't know how to feel about, well, I do know how I feel about it. I feel a way. I feel a way about everybody in Newark who just let that ride. And it was loyalty and disloyalty. I mean, it was so, and I it just, to know, I mean, it was guys that this brother interviewed who basically knew that he pulled the trigger and it was okay with it. And one of the statements was, well, we don't know the pain that he had to carry or the burden that he had to carry. But he never paid a price for that. And so for me, and one of them was, the son was, I think, a retired police chief or something. He had something to do with in the police. But they pretty much just let it ride. They had that much hate and disdain for Malcolm that they let that ride. And pretty much those in the know knew and just left it going. Kept it, you know, just basically hid that man. He hid in plain sight. Now, I want you to check out the documentary about the assassination of Malcolm X. On a comical side of the whole thing, because I always find something immature the whole thing. Why throughout the whole thing, I blame Cory Booker. I don't know why I left that whole documentary mad at Cory Booker, because this dude was in Cory Booker's campaign video. And as a person, I'm not an expert on body language when it comes to lying, but I do admit I do study it. Yeah, man, Cory, you knew, man. And I was just mad at Cory Booker, man, because Cory Booker knew. He knew. And he was like, oh, I had no idea. As the way Cory Booker was looking, I said, oh, fuck you, Cory Booker. So, yeah. But outside of that, man, I just, very good documentary. It was heartbreaking. It was sad. I got sad. I have triggers now. I recognize my triggers, and I was triggered in looking at that documentary. And it just, again, brought up how when our kings and queens and our heroes and sheroes rise up, you know, how society, there are elements, within society that will kill them physically, publicly, emotionally, and then sometimes, unfortunately, it's people that look like you and me, or people that look like my people, that pull the trigger. Man, I had a lot to talk about today. I will sometimes just take one issue and delve into it, but on this, I'm just in this podcast, as I always say, it's therapy. Just getting these thoughts out, being able to put it out there in the world, on the atmosphere, in the universe, or wherever you want to say, and have people critique it, and have people just have talks, and that's what I do. I want to spark conversation. I want to be able to just give, again, my unique perspective on the world. So with that being said, I just want to thank you so much. You can also listen to me. I'm on all social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and you can also find content, and you can also listen to all past episodes at my website, not only on your streaming service, but my website, which is www.kenscorner.co. That's www.kenscorner.co. So with that being said, have a happy Tuesday. Please love on somebody. Happy Black History Month. I know I didn't, go through a lot on Black History Month, but again, there's a purposeful reason why I didn't do that. I will address that next week. So with all of that being said, thank you for listening to the Ken's Corner podcast. I love, I trust, and I respect you. This is Ken of Ken's Corner podcast. Peace out.